Hi there. Good morning, everybody.
Hi, Trevor.
Welcome
Welcome,
back to
Dish.
Delhi. Glad you made it. Finally, it's always better to come and be late than not to come at all. So I assume you heard the share. You managed to listen to the recording so that you're up to speed with where we're holding.
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
Okay, I can't hear you. Whatever. Okay, but so let's push on from where we finished off yesterday. So what we said yesterday was, in order to understand this troubling question, in our language, why good things happen to bad people, why bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people, tzaddik v'ra lo. Rosh of a Toiv law, we need to get to the core and understand a little bit about what Yisurim is Bichlal. To understand anything, you have to understand the first principles. So that's what we said we would do today, to get to a deep understanding of what this is about. So yesterday we mentioned, in order to do the subject properly, it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of thought, takes a lot of omets to get to the depths of the sugya. And we explained why it's so important to do. Okay, so on Reish Mem, he starts off like this: Rabbeinu Asher Ruach HaKodesh Hofiya Beis Midrashim Gilu Lani Tchilas Metziusa Shel Olameinu Hagashmi Kiyuma U'Briyoso Nase Ba'ofen Shel Heder. Our rabbis, our holy rabbis, revealed to us at the beginning of the Bria of the physical world, the beginning of the creation of this world, the establishment and the creation, yesh ma'an, of this world was created via a process called heder. Heder meaning lack. Kloima, musa olam hi haloma shel ora shema in soifi. The essence of this world is the hiding of the light of Hashem. There's an infinite light called the Ein Sof Baruch Hu. That's Hashem. That's what we call Hashem for now. Anyway, I'm not getting into the technicalities here. And this world, what it does in essence is hides that. Because if you didn't hide that, there wouldn't be place for a world. There wouldn't be place for you and me. There wouldn't be place for anything if that or Ein Sof wasn't hidden. The word Olam, which is what this place is called, means Hela, means hidden. Hashem, in his infinite divine wisdom, wanted to create a world in which he could reveal his midah of good, the infinite essence of goodness, and rachmonas. V'gilu midas toive ba'ifen mushlam yitachan raka sheyimotze bruim shem nedore atover. You can only create a world in which you can reveal goodness when you have creatures that are lacking good. If I have everything, so how can you do good for me? So you can't do good for Hashem. You can't do chesed for Hashem. Because he has everything. So you can't reveal your midas toivei klape Hashem. So Hashem created a world with creatures that are lacking. Klaim Hashem chasorim. Lacking. Kol oid metzias or Hashem nintzes b'kol mokum, ein efshirut lehim tzotoysom shel nivroim chasorim v'bilti shlemim. Kol zman, you have the full force of Hashem's or the light of Hashem, the revelation, the Gilu of Hashem is fully, forcefully revealed in the world. So then you don't have space, you don't have a possibility of creatures that are lacking and that aren't Sholem. Shekain, who is Barach Sholem? B'kol mini Shlemus v'einu chosadov. Hashem is completely Sholem. He's not lacking anything. So therefore, if he's here in full force, so then you have a world that's Sholem. So Hashem somehow has to get rid of it. That's a real problem that he's facing. I'm not him, but I'm saying from our perspective. When you look back and see, what do? You have a world that's not lacking anything. That's Kulu infinite oneness. That's this bright, big, HaKadosh Baruch Hu light. And now you want to reveal your Midas Tova. You can't reveal your Midas Tova because there's no one to reveal it to. There's no one to give to. So how are you going to create a world that's going to be lacking if you're there? So you somehow have to get out of the way. Now that's very hard for something that's infinite to get out of the way. But that's what he needed to do. That's what Hashem has to do. He has to create a world that's hiding his light, that enables a world that's lacking and that's not Sholem to be created. Okay, these words are very, very, you can, yeah, the words are terribly clumsy. Very hard to put this into words. Therefore, in order to create, with the goal of creating a world that has creatures that are lacking good, Hashem hid his light a little bit, and that created a metzias of lack, of heder. Yeah, you've planted the sheresh, the beginning of an ability to create, to have in your world creatures that are chosa, that are lacking. But derech is a metzias shel heder, hamastires or Hashem, and via this reality of heder, where there's a lack, and the light of Hashem is hidden, in that lacking, in that space where there's lacking the light of Hashem, Hashem can come back. This is very hard to understand. I'll just get the words first. In that lack, he's Magali, his or. On the one hand, you have a reality where you have creatures that are lacking in essence. On the other hand, you have creatures that are lacking. They're not Sholem, because Hashem held back, so to speak, the light that would have created Shleimus. So now they're lacking. And then Hashem can come and give to them. They can receive the Or Hashem, and they can then get what they're lacking and become Sholem. Those are the words. There's a lot of thought about this. It's not something you can think about too much because we don't really have the kalim to deal with this. And the words are pretty crude, but like we said yesterday, we have to do what we can. Dafka through that mask, that filter, that barrier, which Hashem set up, that prevents the light from coming in, which enables us to be chosah, that Hashem is unable to give to us. Dafka via that masach, that barrier that Hashem set up, is dafka through that barrier that the light comes. Okay, those are the words. Obviously, we don't understand too much about what we're talking about, but at a certain human logical level, that makes sense. You have a thing that's you have a room that's full and you want to put something into it. You first have to take something out before you can put anything back in again. So that's what you have. You have a world that's just kulu or Hashem. There's no room for anything other than Hashem. So Hashem, in order to have creatures that will be able to receive the good he wants to reveal, Hashem has to sort of remove himself, kviyachol, whatever that means. How he does that, that's the sugya, that's the big sugya in Kabbalah called the tzimtzum, which we're not going to go into now, but that's basically what Hashem does. He metzamtzems himself, he shrinks himself, so to speak, whatever these words mean, and he creates a space for me to exist. But I'm very lacking because I don't have the light of Hashem now because it's hidden. And then through the exact hiddenness, Hashem comes and reveals himself and gives us the shleimus we want. That's the tamtzis of what we've said. And obviously there's more, and it has to be understood more, but for our purposes, that'll give us a working grip on what we're trying to say here. Wonderful moshel he always used to use, a very powerful moshel this. It's very, very good. To try and chap a little bit what we're talking about here, just to use a moshel of a, today we don't have this anymore, but everybody in this room at this moment is over the age of whatever. So we remember still, you wanted to watch a movie, you used to have to show it on the wall, on the screen. You used to have a light, and then you used to have the film coming between the light and the screen, and then you would have the screen reflecting back the pictures. Koloid a film, einu mastirim esa'o, hapanas lo ro'im mo'uma milvador. If all you have is the projector and the screen, so what do you have? You have a big bright white light on the screen. Kolzman, the film isn't there. So then all you have is a big bright light shining on the screen. When you put the film in, what does the film do? It hides the light. That's all it's doing. It's hiding part of the light. And then it reflects onto the screen all the different shapes and forms that are on the film. Trees and houses and people and whatever. But how do you show a movie on the screen is by hiding the light. But it's dafka the hiding the light which reveals what you're trying to reveal. If you took away the film and you didn't hide the light, you just have a big bright light. If you hid the light too much, you just have a big black screen. So you have to reveal just enough light and hide just enough light in order to achieve the purpose that you're trying to achieve. The hiding that the film does of the light, that's what reveals the shapes and forms that you want to reveal. This world is like a film that hides the light of Hashem. That's how you create forms and shapes and all different things. You see trees and people and birds and all sorts of different things. And that's being revealed in this world via the hiding of the light of Hashem. Okay, that's a moshel, a very useful moshel. Once again, it's a moshel and it's crude, but it does get across the message that we're trying to bring across here. In order to have a world, you have to have a lack. You can't have a world where it's shalem and where everything's just or Hashem and still have anything else there, because there's no room for anything else. So somehow you have to hide the light. How Hashem does it, whatever, we don't know. We're not going to go into how he does it. That's beyond us. How Hashem can, an infinite oneness can mitzamtzem, hide himself. The law. We can't understand this. But that's what he does. And it's dafka, the hiding, that reveals what he wants to reveal. It's like using filters. What comes out of this and what we need to take away from, it's very important to take this away, is that right at the beginning of the Bria, a fundamental foundation and an unbreakable principle is that you can't have a metzias, you can't have anything of a revelation of the gilo of Hashem's good in this world without there first being that header, that hidden, that taking away. That's the yesod that comes out of this. Kol zman, you want a metzias, where there's a gilu toiva, there's a revelation of good in the world, there first has to be an header. That's the way the world was created. That's the first basic fundamental yesod in the Bria. That was the yesod, the foundation, the root of the Bria right at the beginning, and that's how it is forever. Every moment it's like that. And this principle is revealed everywhere, in all the aspects. You can't grow a tree from a seed. You plant the seed, first the seed has to rot and disintegrate and go away before anything can grow out of that seed. Bella, who would have thought to do something like that? How would evolution have worked that out over billions of years? You have a seed, you don't want the seed to disintegrate and disappear. I don't know, you want the seed to grow and develop. And that's what happens. The seed has to disintegrate and rot and become nothing, and then the tree can grow. Kamol kein hayom harishon shel bria matchil b'vayehi erev. How does the Bria start? We know in halacha, in philosophy, in everything in Torah and Hashkafa, we know that the day starts at night. The Jewish day starts at night. Vayhi erev, vayhi boike. V'hederao, the world, the day, a Jew starts, the day starts with darkness. Lack of light. Rak acha kach nema vayhi boike. Then afterwards you have the light being revealed, that's boike. Zehi gam metzias ha'adam b'kol tchumov. That's a person's reality in all your aspects. You can never get away from this. That's the way the world is created. That's the way it works. Gam koiches hanefesh. We've touched on this, by the way. This should be resonating a little bit with you. We've spoken about this often, that there's three phases to everything. There's the first phase of total gilu, total revelation, where you get inspired and you get shown everything. Then that gets taken away in order to allow you to go and rebuild it. Because if it never got taken away, you could never build it for yourself. It would just continually be a free gift. You never get a chance to build anything. So first it has to be taken away, and then you can go build it. Now it's yours. You see this everywhere. Gam koiches hanefesh. Hatumunin bo any yotzim al apoel ele derech metzir shel heda. Even the koichas hanefesh, the ruchnistika aspects of our dimension only happen when there's first a reality of heder. Kol mishen is nasa ipam v'chash pachad maves, o misakona muchshis acheres yodei ki b'shah zu mitgalim ba'adam koichas hatzumin. Everybody knows that when a person's put in the pinch, when he's put in the squeeze, when he's given a dangerous situation, or he faces, God forbid, death, or other serious problems that he's never had to deal with before, suddenly revealed in him are enormous, enormous koichas, enormous powers. He can do some things that he could never imagine that he could do before. He's an enormous pachad or something, a guy jumps over a 10-foot fence to get away from a pit bull terrier or whatever he's running away from. And normally he can't jump over a 2-meter fence. Now he's jumping over 10 meters. You see that. Koichas shemelem ilo chalom shebeicholu lagilem. He never in his wildest dreams believed he could get to those koichas. Havoyim shadavke metzias ahede hi hamagale es atomim benefesh pnime vihi hamutzia oisam min hakoichas hapoel. It's dafka the lack, it's dafka the problem, it's dafka the hiddenness that forces a person to reveal those koichas, to reveal them from potential to actuality, which he would never have done had there not first been the lack. That's a very important hagdoma for everything, to understand it. That's the way the world's created. Darkness before the dawn. In order for there to be a dawn, an alois, there's to be the darkest moment of reality. The darkest moment of reality is just before the light. That's the way the world was created. Yes, it's a marshal, but it's also a metziut. That's the way Hashem created the world. He created the world, and it had to be that way. There was no other way for Hashem to create the world without first there being a hidden, without there first being a removal of the light. Because if you don't reveal the light, there's no room for anything else. Fine. So that's a very choshuva hagdoma, certainly for our subject, but as a hagdoma in general for any understanding of Torah and the Bria. Lachar Dama Zubi Cholotenu Letoy Ma'at Ulavin Esatruva Oides Hayusurim V'Tafkidom. Now that we have this Hagdama, we can now taste a little bit, and we can understand a little bit an answer about this question of suffering and the purpose of suffering. Matarosam Litzu Es Mekom HaHeder Dainu Es HaCholol Shebo Yoicholonim Legalut Es Atzmai. The purpose of this place of heder, of this hiddenness, of this lack, he calls it a cholo, from the word chilul, chilul Hashem, is where there's a cholo, where there's a place where there's no Hashem, where a person is able to reveal what? To reveal himself. That's what we're supposed to be in Megalia. We start off with very little, in actuality, but enormous potential. A baby has very little ability to do anything, but he's enormous potential. He could be the next Rabbi Kiva Eiger, he could be the next Rabbi Akiva, he could be the next David HaMelech. He has potential to become infinitely great, but he needs space in which to be able to reveal that. That means he needs a header in order for him to be able to reveal himself. He needs a clearing in the forest, so to speak, where he can Megale himself. That's the purpose of the Bria. It's for me to become the best, most fully expressed person that I can become. Kol oyed achayim mitnalim b'sholom v'v'shalva. As long as life is just tricking over nicely, peacefully, problem-free, ein adam asugul agot et koiches hanefesh atzunumunim v'otzurim boy. The person will never be able to reveal the unbelievable koichas, potential talents that he has that are hidden inside of himself. Rak be'emtzut ha'heder v'hagat ha'yusurim mitgalim koichas nafshoi shel ha'odem v'boikim achutza. Only when a person's put in a pinch, when he's squeezed, when he has yusurim comes upon him, Rahman Letzlan, there are his unbelievable koichas ha'nefesh revealed. And then they can start flowing outside. Then they can start expressing themselves outside. Kolzman, there's no resistance, there's no pressure. He doesn't have to push too hard. So he doesn't develop those muscles. He doesn't reveal those powers that he has. But when put in a pinch, when put in a squeeze, when given a difficult situation, a person starts digging inside of himself and he finds things that he never knew he had. Sometimes it happens mamela. You don't even have to dig. The example we gave earlier, someone's walking down the street and suddenly a wild animal starts chasing him. The pachad, suddenly he starts running faster than he even knew he could run. Where did that come from? He could always run that fast. He just didn't know. When you put a gun against his head, he gets that koichas. He gets an adrenaline boost and boom, he goes. Okay, so that's a crude marshal, but in Ruchnias, in Koichas and Nefesh, it's the same thing as well. When a person's given difficult challenges, that's when he starts flexing his muscle that wouldn't have been flexed otherwise. And that's the whole reason we came here. Okay, so that's Ma'od Mod Chashuv. Baruch Hashem, there are four people here today, five people today that got this. And on Sunday, when we get back together again, we'll have to see how we catch everybody else up. Because if you're lacking this, you're lacking everything. The most important yesod that you can have. The Ma'od Mod Chashuv to know this. Ma'od Chashuv to know this. As a big hashkafic approach, but more importantly, in our own personal lives, when you're facing the challenges we're facing today, enormous difficulties in every level, in whether it's chinuch, shalom, your own mental health, being stuck at home, this new golus that we have, a thing called bidud. You know, it's a torture. It's a terrible, terrible yusurim. It's not pashut. People don't understand. This bidud thing is lo pashut bichlal. And when a person's facing these challenges, this is what you need to remember. This is not Hashem being horrible to us. We have abilities yet to be revealed. Hashem wants us to express ourselves in ways that we could never express ourselves before. So there's more important in the avoda hayochid. Where the yochid, you have to understand this cosmic principle, that's the way the brew was created. But more important, I need to understand how to utilize this in my own world to stay sane and to be besimcha when challenges are really, really hard. They're not partial to this. Fine. So that's a very important yesod, important to go over it and remember it and to keep it in mind. We've seen this many times, this idea from different aspects, but yeah, it's brought down very, very, very straightforward.
Rob?
Yes.
Doesn't that then lead us back to the overall goal is the Kabbalah Al Melechus Shemayim? When we miss the bus or when we drop something on our toe, each time we have the opportunity to say, okay, Baruch Hashem, I accept with love.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with it now? So you accepted it, and now what? Why did Hashem drop a brick on your foot? So you first have to recognize that Hashem dropped the brick on my foot. Now you have to understand why. What am I supposed to do with this brick that's now on my broken toe? Well, why did Hashem do that? Now, we don't always get an answer to that question. Why Hashem did this, we don't always know why the specifics. But we're looking at Yusurim suffering klali, generally. There, the first thing you need to know is, like you say, yeah, is if this is from Hashem, I call it tova. This is, first of all, it's from Hashem, it's good. But now Hashem wants a response from me. I can't just throw it back at him. We have a tendency. There's not too big a oilam here, so maybe I can say this because I'm with my faithfuls here. I can say something maybe a drip controversial. And that is that very often you see in the frum, in the Haredi, in the religious, I don't like using the word Haredi because I don't know what it means, but in the religious, orthodox, whichever one of those nonsensical words you want to use, but the world uses them, so we'll use them. Responses to suffering, what it looks like very often is pushing Hashem out the picture. What do I mean? Hashem comes into your world and he brings a problem. He brings a suffering into a person's world. And what do? We push Hashem out with all our frumness, with all our frumkeit. We don't step back and accept the fact that there's a reality here. There's a brick fell on your foot. You now have a broken toe. That's a reality. You start doing all sorts of segulas and frumness and mitzvahs. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, why don't you first accept the reality that Hashem just stepped into your world, which is what you're saying. That's Kabbalah Samachu Shemaim. This brick that landed on my foot, that's Hashem put it there. The pain I'm feeling now is from Hashem. So why are you trying to get rid of Hashem? Why are you trying to throw Hashem out the world with your frumka? First, accept the reality and understand, yeah, we have a reality. Hashem wants me to do something with this reality. He's trying to get me a message. Now, I may not always be able to divine what the message is right away. If Hashem gave me a message, he obviously wants me to get a message. It means if I take time with patience, with love, I'll be able to find what the message is. I'll know what he wants from me. It may not be in nanoseconds, you know, the time, you know, space that this generation measures time. May take a while. But yeah, first step is this is from Hashem. Well, if it's from Hashem, why are you trying to get rid of Hashem? So allow him in. Let him in. Don't try and push him out. Don't try and throw him away. Accept the fact that he has a Hashem and he's given you a serious problem. And he wants you to deal with it. So deal with it. You know, what are you trying to do by throwing him out the world? After you've sat back and you've had calm and you've looked at it, you've analyzed it, you've worked it through, then you may come up with a response that includes, you know, taking on more mitzvahs, whatever. I'm not saying not. I'm saying, but that's not the first response. The first response is, well, I have a real problem here. This is a real serious problem that Hashem's given me. It's not just, oh, it's from Hashem, I call it tova, everything's fine, boom, and then carry on with your life. No, this is from Hashem, I call it tova. What does he want from me? Hashem created a world and hid the light away to allow me to exist. He wants me to megala myself. So why are you throwing Hashem out the picture here? Allow Hashem in and deal with Hashem. The more chashuv to know this. We have a tendency always when we have a problem to come up with all sorts of tricks and frum things and whatever to get rid of Hashem. That's not why we do it. We don't think that's what we're doing, but that's what it amounts to really. Hashem comes into your world, he gives you a problem, and you start doing all sorts of things. So you'll say Tehillim the whole day, and then hopefully Hashem will go away. You may have to do that. Once again, I'm not saying Chas v'Chalila that that's not a good thing to do. For sure it's a good thing to do. But only after you've stepped back and ask yourself, what does Hashem really want me to do here? Maybe he doesn't want you sitting at home saying Tehillim the whole day. Maybe he wants you to go upstairs and ask the Almana, who doesn't have someone to make Havdalah for on Motzei Shabbos, would she like to come down and you have Havdalah? Maybe that's what he wants to tell you. I don't know. A person has to find out what Hashem's talking to him personally. So a person has to step back, but that takes time and patience. Not just quickly got a problem, throw Hashem out the picture. You know, run to the kohel and get rid of Hashem. No, there's a lot. You have to be careful who you say this to. People get the wrong message. I'm not chas v'chilila saying that all these things we do are wrong. Of being mechazek and being this, first you have to stop and ask yourself, my reality here. I mentioned the other day. I think we were all here. I mentioned the altar of Kelm when they were closing down his Talmud Torah in not the one in Kelm, the other one. He had another one in Grubst. I don't know whatever. There was a village town where they had another cheder for young kids, and they were coming to close it down. Whatever. He didn't call a day of prayer, and he didn't call a day of chizuk or whatever. He said they're coming to close down the cheder. Chas v'chilil, it won't happen. But if it does, we have to be prepared. We have to come up with responses. We have to come up with a solution to the cheder. What's going to be if they close the cheder down? He didn't start pretending that there isn't a reality. No, he related to the reality. He could have done all sorts of things. He could have done wondrous things and called prayer meetings and all sorts of hishtadlises and 40 days at the kaisel and perek shiras and all sorts of stuff and sugulas. That's not what he did. The altar of Kelm wasn't a lightweight. You could rely on the altar of Kelm. No, he said, we have a problem and we have to deal with the problem. And that's got to be our situation. Same with this corona thing. There's a reality on the ground here. You have to accept the reality and now start working. What does Hashem want from me? What's he trying to tell me? And it's not just a quick, you know, snappy answer. You know, kavalocha, you know, you got a problem, you pick up the phone, you phone the Rav and he gives you an answer, boom, now everything's solved. No, this requires a lot of introspection, a lot of internal work. There's a lot, and it's hard for anybody else to tell you what it is about because each person has to know himself. That's the whole purpose of cutting people off from the tzibur and cutting them off from communities and societies and extended families and because Hashem wants you to get in touch with yourself. Find out who you are. That's what he said. To be megale es atzmoi. Hashem creates a space in the world in order for me to reveal myself. So zema ot chashuv, but 100% of Ephraim, you're right. It has to start, and that's why we mentioned that very much in the first part of the Sefer. It has to start with first recognizing, hey, this is from Hashem. And if it's from Hashem, it's good. Okay, that's fine. Now, stage two, what am I going to do with this? This is for me. I have to do something here. I have to find out what Hashem wants from me, and I have to get busy trying to understand what the situation is. But that's by working and accepting and looking at the reality as it is, not trying to pretend that the reality doesn't exist or magic wand the reality away. No, you have to deal with the reality the way it is. You see that in all the Balei Musa, in all the thought, machshava, svarim, they all first look at what the reality is. Ma metziut, what's the reality? This is the reality. Oh, fine. How do I know that this is a reality I have to accept? That's Kabbalah Samal Chushamayim. This reality is from Hashem. Therefore, I accept this. I allow it into my world. This is Hashem, and this is good for me. It looks terrible. I don't like this. I want it to go away. I'm not even done for it to go away. like we mentioned before, the tefillah of a Baal B'tochen doesn't mean that I just, you may be davening to make it go away. You may be making ishtadlus to make it go away also. But that's after you've accepted it and allowed it into your world and used it to find out how does this help me become a bigger person, a better person. So there's an odd mod chashuv, and we're very influenced by the world out there, that whenever there's a problem or whatever, we run to find all sorts of shortcut solutions which potters me from doing what I'm supposed to do. To be very careful of this. I think you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, that's as much as I can do today. Metz Hashem, on Sunday, I'll Bezrat Hashem. Anything change? I mean, there's about 50 people in Tifrach who went into Bidud yesterday, because there were 26, I think, people found Chiyuvi in Tifrach yesterday out of a total population of about not much more than that. So each day is a new challenge, is a new unknown. But in the meantime, Bezrat Hashem, I'm trying to very hard get back into the Beis Midrash. Eli, I know for sure you're not going to be back in the Beis Midrash, and you will be back. You'll be still on Zoom. We'll still see you. We'll have you back. Rabbi Israel, you have to ask your Aunt Charlotte. I don't know what you're going to be doing. I don't know. And who else is out there?
I am. I plan to be there if I'm.
And Shmuel, you there as well? I can see you there. It's just a bit blurred.
I prefer to be here in Zoom, I think. I will be.
You're going to be coming in, or are you staying at home?
I stay in home.
You're staying at home? Because we'll see you like this on the Metz Hashem Yom Rishon. I'll see you on Zoom there.
It's 9:30 or 9:45?
Oh, so that, I'm going to try for 9:30. I'll be out because Rovolitsky won't start his share at 10. So I want to try and be finished by 10, but we have to be flexible, and we may start at like at 9:45 or 9:40 eve. But I don't want to make it shorter. I think we need the half an hour. So I'm going to try and start at 9:00. Bezrat Hashem, I'll start at 9:30. But if it's not working and we need to make it minutes later, maybe 9:25 to 10:05. When I see Rovolitsky on Sunday, I'll work out exactly how we're going to do this. We're stepping into a big unknown. I've never done this before. You know, normally the staff is money, everyone there, and we're not doing. Yeah, we've got some people in Johannesburg, some people in New York, some people in Beit Shemesh, some people at home, some people in the Beis Midrash, some people in New York. I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be very challenging. And we don't know how long it's going to last for you. You know, we can make plans, Shem can change. So in the meantime, we want to keep the program going on Zoom, because I think most people are still going to be. And just after I need to get back to my smidrash, there's people that are getting lost that are not joining us because there's not for them to meet and see and deal with them. So I felt that I need to come back. Even though my whole Gemara she is carrying Zoom, none of my Gemara she is coming back. I'll be in the best midrash for a certain part of it, at least people need me and that I'm available, that I'm there. But that doesn't matter. We still have to keep every learning. And if it's going to be on Zooms and other rabbi, I don't respect that. I'm jealous. That's what I would do. I had the choice. Whatever. Each person's got his tafkidim and mashallah. This is what I do for now. Not a lot, I don't know. But for now, we definitely seem to need that. And Rovolitsky also feels for the best, what's best for his share right now is to be back, and we can do it very safely and knowing all the klalim and whatever. It's a shame we'll have broch tzlocha and siyat maya. But individuals who are guarding themselves and timing this medical mitzvah will shut them as a gewaldic, massive mitzvah in Tovol and broch. Sure, you should carry on doing that. I told the tzevet well right in the beginning, I'm not coming to mashachne anyone to come back. I think it's the right that the shirim come back. But at the same time, there are a lot of people that shouldn't come back. So we have to be able to accommodate everybody, you know. And if that means we don't go back, we don't go back. But if we can do both, then for sure, you know, we want to be able to. Some guys need to get out the house. Some guys need to, you know, there's things that are more just than corona, depression, like, there's lots of things. People suffering from cabin fever. Seriously, I'm not joking. So everybody's got his challenges, you know. Not everybody. Older guys, us older guys, are more, we can deal with the challenges, you know, it's a little easier. We can find ways to keep ourselves in my old aged homes, you know. I see with my mother and her friends and whatever, some are managing very well and some are falling apart. It's terrible, you know. So each person has to make his own cheshbonus. But if you, you know, mentally strong and you're healthy and you're b'simcha and you're not kicking the dog and biting your wife and whatever, and then for sure you should stop. But some of the younger guys to get out the house, not good for Shalom Bayit, not good for their health, whatever, they need to get out. So I'm trying to provide both groups with to continue learning as seamlessly as possible. You know, that's really what we're trying to do. So Bezrat Hashem, I wouldn't say Tehillim for it, and Mitz Hashem will be back soon together without all these Nisyonis, but Hashem. Have a good Shabbos, a good Yiddish. Ah, what a wonderful opportunity. It's crazy to get Karev, to get close to Hashem, the Simcha with Hashem. Mitz Hashem, we'll, either way, we'll see you on Zoom or face-to-face on Sunday, Mitz
Hashem.
Rav, did you say 9:30?
That's what the email said, yeah, according to the emails. We try and start at 9:30. It might probably be close to 9:35. I would prefer to do the quarter to 10. I want to try and quarter to 10. But I have to just sort that out with Walensky. So say we're going to try shoot for 9:35. I also have to see what's traffic. You know, you don't understand. The traffic patterns in this country change radically, you know, since it's corroding. There's some places that are more booked, some that are less. I don't know how long it takes me to get in. So that's why I didn't want to start yesterday or today coming in, because Rosh Chodesh, davening, it's later, whatever, the traffic. So I'd rather just start on Yom Shon when I can daven earlier and a bit earlier so that I can try and get in on time. But Alech Achidu would like to get back to quarter to 10, even 20 to 10. I think that's more conducive to getting guys in, to give them an opportunity. But in the meantime, we'll try. Listen, we always used to do it non-thin. Everybody came, so it shouldn't be a problem. Okay, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Good Friday.